Welcome, everyone. This is Gary Carpenter with Prepare for College. Today, we're going to have a podcast on the gap year, where students are seniors in high school, may or may not know what they want to do, but the discussion comes up about a gap year. So we've got Al Hoffman joining us again today and Chuck Moore. But before I pass it over to them, I'd just like to remind you that all of these podcasts are recorded on our website. And that website is prepareforcollege.com. And I'm going to spell it out to you because it's a little different than what it sounds like. It's the word prepare, the number four, the word college.com. And as I said, I think there's close to, I'd say 25 podcasts on there referencing college. So enough of the details. Let me get Al and Chuck involved here and let's get going on the gap year. Al, Chuck?
Okay. Chuck, feel free to butt in at any time. Gary, the thing that a gap year comes up is in two ways. The first will be a student who has decided not to immediately go to college after high school. They do not participate in the college process at all. They were planning and have not decided to go to college. They're going to take some time off from education and get some real life experiences and then come back to education. That's the plan. So that's the first gap year, is a student that purposely, a senior basically, that purposely is not going to go to college directly from high school. That would be a gap year. The second is probably more what you would think about or what you introduced us to, Gary, and that is the person that participated in the college process in the senior year and got accepted and then asked the college for a deferral for 12 months. That's the second type of gap year, obviously very different. And those two are the two different types of gap years. Okay, so how does it work? Well, if you're that first one, I think there's not a lot of procedure, but the second one has a few things that you may not be aware of. So let's talk about the person again. As a reminder, the second one was a person that did participate in the whole college process, you know, the visitations, the applications, the financial aid forms, et cetera, and then they finally accepting a college. And when they accept that college, that's the national decision day is May 1. So May 1 of the senior year, they send in some money, they accept it, and then they ask for a gap year. Okay, so the reason why that's important is because there is a small amount of risk there in that the college doesn't have to say yes. So you might say, well, wait a minute, that wasn't my plan. Well, again, the college approves your deferral and they may not say yes. You're officially deferred by the college. You will know you will lose your merit scholarship, of course. You will not lose your merit scholarship when you come back, but you should confirm that the college will do that. It's not everywhere that they would give you and keep the merit scholarship, but that is common. And you will reapply for need-based financial aid in the following year, because every year is different and the rules of the FAFSA prior year and the profile, CSS profile, if the college uses that system, will require a new set of financials to be filed for financial aid and need purposes, financial need-based purposes, basically. So what are the pros? Well, growth of character is the first reason to consider a gap year. Chuck, I know you're a big into this, but some students just really are not quite ready for college. They're just not. And this is actually probably the smartest plan for them, is to take some time off and reassess, open up their community into the bigger world of what may happen during that. A different community allows students to rethink their experiences and produce better results because they're now a lot more focused. So it is not a particularly bad thing at all. It is something that does need to be planned. There is a couple places to go. RotaryExchange.org is a it's a nice place to go to find something that you would do during this year. And I think it's important to realize that you do want to do something. You just don't want to sit at home and play video games for a year and then go back to college. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about doing something that opens up your community, yourself to a larger community and different community of people. A Peace Corps, Habitat for Humanity, Rotary. Exchange.org, and there's others. It helps you focus on why you're going to college, what you want to study. That's the probably the maybe the more important thing. I am not a big fan of students going to college undeclared because they don't know what they want to do. And I think just college is far too expensive to try to figure it out why you're there. I think it should be a decision made before you go. Not everybody agrees with that, I realize, but it just allows you to more time to shadow your career choice if you're going to take that gap year. And it gives you some more time to read colleges, research the colleges better. Again, college visits now won't be harmed by your studies. You could find that you'll have a lot more time to do some meaningful physical college visits to find out that campus that fits you socially. So there's a lot of pros here. The cons, well, you cannot take classes anywhere, online or community college. Taking classes turns you into a transfer student. Not good. Okay, you're not the same type of student as a regular first year as opposed to a transfer. Money for gap year could cost you in two ways. A gap year program, the thing that you may do with Rotary, etc. Could cost you anywhere from 5 to 30K, and you're losing your lost opportunity costs. Your time is worth money. So it is valuable in that it gives you character and growth of community, but it is negative in that you lose some time and eventually starting your career. However, one does not exclude the other. If you don't know what you want to do, well, then doesn't much matter. Go figure it out before you go. Losing momentum may be a small thing because when you're studying, it is situational that you would lose your study a tiny bit of your study skills. Of course, when you get back up on that bike, you're going to find out that you can ride it very, very quickly. So it's not a big deal, but it is something to consider. The waste of time is not properly planned or executed if you don't plan this out, you could find that the time gets away from you. Cost of attendance does go up every year. So you'll see a small increase on the fifth year of this plan as opposed to getting it out and done in 4 years. Let me say it this way. A gap year is an event, not just a pause, but it is something that you plan. It's an event. Those are the things that I would continue on here with a few smaller issues on the cons, and that is a small loss of your deposit. Going through the whole college process again, college searches, applications, college visits, financial aid applications. These are small things. These are just nuisance city issues. The bigger issue is the community, opening up your character to and focusing your career. Are the two major reasons that I think a gap year are very, very positive. A couple other things there. You might want to go to teenlife.com. There's some nice gap years here. TEENLIFE, teenlife.com. There are some gap year programs there as well with the Rotary Exchange I mentioned, Peace Corps, etc. Maybe 6 months for Habitat Humanity or that kind of a thing. Or a little bit of both. A job with smaller, large employers that are shadowing your potential career, if you know what it is, would be valuable. So a gap year should never be a do nothing year. Let me say that again. A gap year should not be a do nothing year. Okay. All right. So, decision points. If a gap year is being done just to save money, then a gap year may or may not be the right answer. The gap year is for helping the student gain balance, focus, growth, and character, then the gap year is probably a good answer. The balance of the two issues is where the answer is for you, whoever you are who are listening to me today. Chuck, I'm going to turn this over to you. I know you had some input on this gap year situation as well. Share with us
Yes,
what your points are.
I like the gap year for a lot of students that may not get any type of merit scholarships. They're not focused on their career options. And I agree 100% with you, Al, on this. I had one young lady down in Eastern Kentucky several years ago. And she was very confused on her career options. And she was really not sufficient in her test scores, her ACT or SAT test scores. She was a C average student, but she was very involved in her community. And she was not really convinced that college is the right route for her to go. So what I suggested her to do instead of throwing money out for the first year or let's say attending a community college, she wasn't really hyped up on attending a community college. And you can see this in a lot of young people's situation. So I asked her, what type of field would you consider possibly going into? And she indicated to me that she would like to get into maybe law or politics or things along those lines. And I said, well, here's what I suggest doing. Why don't you ask around in your community, maybe a law firm with three, four, five lawyers in it, and asked for some type of employment there. And she thought that was a great idea. So she went to two or three of them. It was a fairly good sized town, about 25 to 30,000 population. And she found one attorney's office that dealt with law when it comes to child protection type agency and things along those lines. And she went in and asked for employment. Well, they hired her. And she did such a good job from that, they wanted to keep her on full time. Now, to make a long story short, she then said, well, I love to do this, but I'm going to need some more education. And they said, why don't you consider becoming a paralegal? Now, paralegals, they make a nice little income. And normally it's, I think, Al, you'd probably know this better than I do. I think it's right around a 2-year program. And they said, we will pay for the cost of you getting your paralegal degree. And she said, great. Well, that was the route that she took. And I contacted her after she got her paralegal degree. I contacted her about 2 years after that. And she was doing such a good job. And one of the senior members of the law firm was going to be retiring within the next 4 or 5 years. And they asked her, would she be willing to go back to school and become an attorney? And she said yes. And what they ended up doing, they paid 100% of her college education. So that is a good positive story. Now, getting to the negative side, there are some students after they get out of high school, they're through with education. They don't want to go through this process anymore. I want to go out and get some money and things along those lines. So when that happens, the longer the student is deferred going to some form of higher education, the less likelihood they're going to go back to college. So that's what I have seen. What percentage of, I'm not going to give you any percentage, but it's difficult once you're out of the learning environment. It's difficult in some situations, not all, of coming and going, all of a sudden going back to school. Even going to a community college or a trade school or whatever. Now, with that said, a lot of them, once they mature, they see that just with the high education, it's not going to produce them enough income to live the lifestyle they want to live. So therefore, they start realizing I'm going to have to get some form of education to provide me a good standard of living. Then they'll go back to school. But once again, it's difficult sometimes for students that take a gap year to all of a sudden go back to school and work part-time or whatever, because normally when they do, if they do get a job or whatever, their main goal is to get out of the house of the mom and dad. So now they're on their own and they're making money, and now all of a sudden they decide to go back to school and get their degree or some type of technical training or whatever. And now all of a sudden, the hours that they were working from an employment standpoint now is cut down drastically. So that's my input on that. I'm in big favor of a gap year of maturing, finding out what you want to do. You know, that is a really hard decision for a lot of students to make. But a lot of them that are not really prepared to go to college, it's difficult for them to get employment, start making income, and then all of a sudden go back to school. So that's my two cents.
Gary, do you have any input as well? I mean, this is your son went straight up from high school to college, so
Right. Well, I don't, but I have some questions, okay? One of them, you said there's two groups, those that haven't really gone through the college application process and those that have. And I want to go back to those that have gone through the process. Should they tell the colleges that they're applying to in the beginning that they're thinking about doing a gap year, or is this something you talk to the colleges about after you've been accepted and you may not even be committed to go to that school? When would you tell the colleges that you're thinking about a gap year? I guess that's the basic question here.
Well, if you don't want the risk, of course you tell them up early and clear the air. I don't think the risk is that big here in the States. Now in Europe, it's a different educational system. The gap year is actually relatively common over there, comparatively speaking to us here in the States. So it is different. But if you're talking about it in the way that is common in the US, you don't tell them. You get accepted, and then you ask afterwards. So if that happens, there is a small risk. I don't know, I'll put a number on it, 5% chance that you'll be told no. It's not very often, is what I'm trying to say. But it does happen. And your best plans have maybe been led astray. Of course, if that happened, you probably would still take your gap year. It's just now you truly do have to start over because now you lost your deposit and you're not coming back to that college because they said no. I would still take the gap year, 95% chance that you had already planned for some things. And so it's going to be something you're going to do. So as far as the path of best for the student, I believe it should be that you go through the process, apply financially, accept, deposit, and then ask. And then ask. Okay.
Good.
Yeah, I agree with that. Don't tell the college anything until you have
Yeah, well,
to.
I think it. I think strongly it would. I don't think I know it would hurt you. I mean, those people that don't like the gap year situation would probably say no. Remember, colleges are businesses first, and benevolent associations of higher learning second. That's not a negative. They are a business. They got bills to pay, just like we do, just like everybody else. So if they need 2,000 students, butts in the seat, so to speak, then they don't want 1,999. So it is not an issue. On the flip side, they can, from their wait list, fill up the class of the holes that come up during what they call the summer melt. And this is one of those items that contribute to what the colleges call the summer melt. And that's the number of students that made deposits on May 1st and the number of students that showed up on September 1st for classes. That's the summer melt. And they have wait lists that they can pull from to get that in. Plus, they also know that 10% or better of those freshmen are going to quit or fail. So they need people to come in the sophomore year. So see, from a business standpoint, this is pretty good for the college. So that's why the chances of you being told no are not very strong. But there is a small risk there. That's just want to make it up front that you know that there is a small risk that you could be told no. Does
And
that?
there, that's a good point, Al. And also, they have to realize is that if they do take a gap year, you've got to realize that now the student, while they're in high school, wasn't earning a substantial amount of income. But if you took a gap year and all of a sudden you take a job someplace, now all of a sudden that has to be put down on the FAFSA form, which could possibly affect your need-based financial aid.
Yeah,
Yeah, a
and
couple of
I'll
years
jump
later,
in
or at
here
least
real
a
quick.
year later anyway, but yeah.
I would jump in here real quick. Even in those situations, it is important to consider. That would be the first thing you do an appeal letter on. This is a one-time situation. It's not going to repeat itself in the future. We had to get sorted out. Ask them to take it out of the computation, or at the very least, don't record it or don't report it as income. And I'm talking about the colleges, not to assess it as income, but assess it as an asset, which is at a much lower rate. So,
It's a good point, Gary. That is a good point.
So gap year is I think a relatively positive thing, and I see the numbers according to those people out there, the numbers are increasing every year. So we're kind of following the European model. We're not there yet. The European model is actually probably driven more so by the fact that it's the education is there in many of the countries free. And with so many people joining to go to college, then sometimes you have to gap year because there's just no room. So it's muddy. It's a big part of the college process in the European countries. But that's not the way we roll here. So gap year is definitely in the control of the student, whether they decide not to go to college at all that first year, or whether they go through the college process and request that gap year after they've been accepted. That's a good point.
Well, I want to thank both of you for taking time this morning. This is a topic that's not talked about very often, but it is important and should be considered. So, Al, Chuck, thank you very much. For you that are listening to this podcast, we'll have another one for you next week. This will be posted to our website along with the others we have out there. So again, that website is prepareforcollege.com. And I'll repeat that, the word prepare, the number four, again, the word college.com. And also for family members, other family members that may be considering going to colleges, nieces, nephews, for friends who have children that are looking at college, share the website. I think there's a lot of good information there that can answer some of their basic questions. So until next week, when we have another podcast, I want to thank you for joining us. And Al and Chuck, thank you for a very good presentation. Bye-bye, everyone.